Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Friday, April 30th, 2021. The time is 1:30, and I'd like to welcome Senator Gray Jackson. Welcome.
Thank you.
Senator Stevens, good afternoon. I'd like to thank Carrie and Alex, who are making this meeting possible by documenting it and allowing for folks to call in. So today we have a couple items on the agenda. We're going to start out with Senate Bill 17, Senator Begich's Energy Efficiency and Policy Bill related to public buildings. It's the second hearing in the committee, and we will actually look to the will of the committee on whether we pass it out or hold it. Next, we have, after that, we have House Bill 36 from Representative Klayman. This deals with motor vehicle dealers. It'll be the first hearing in Labor and Commerce, and the intention is to hold that bill. We'll have public testimony on that also. And then Senate Bill 76, which is Senator Keel's Abandoned Vehicles Private Property Bill. It's the first hearing. We'll hear from the sponsor and open public testimony, and on that we'll also look to the will of the committee. Excuse me. So with that, I want to welcome Senator Begich to the committee. Please feel free to review briefly the bill that you've had before in this committee, and then we have some individuals online who are available for questions. Right now, looks like they're not. Yeah, it doesn't look like they're online yet, but Christopher Hodgkin from the Department of Transportation is online for questions. So with that, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Senator Tom Begich, District J, which is downtown Anchorage, Fairview Mountain View, Airport Heights. I just quickly, just to remind you of what the bill does, there are really two functional components of the bill. One takes an existing state program, which provides private public partnerships for retrofitting publicly owned buildings of 10,000 square feet or greater, and it lowers that to 5,000 square feet. It also includes public school buildings and large public community buildings that may be subject to PCE support that are also at 5,000 square feet into that program. And then secondarily, it repeats and revises policies and established state goals for obtaining 50% of state energy needs from renewable energy by 2025. So it just really just updates that particular piece. I would add that you've already considered another similar bill that has passed on to the Senate Finance Committee, which is the governor's bill relating to creating an energy independence investment fund. I've had conversations with the governor's staff and with others about that, and we continue to have those conversations. So when this bill leaves this committee, which I hope it will do today, it will join that committee in Senate Finance, and we're hoping that it will be in elements of this bill will be added to that bill to help influence and provide a stronger component for the governor's bill as well. So I think it's generally bipartisan legislation. I look forward to your consideration of it, and I'm open for any questions you may have. The expert in the program as it's currently constituted is online should you have any questions about the $40 million plus savings over the last decade that this approach has provided the state of Alaska.
Okay, thank you, Senator Begich. Are there questions from committee members? Again, we have someone from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities online, and that's the department that will help facility owners determine how to pay for the audits. And that individual is Christopher Hodgkin. No questions? Okay. Senator Begich, has there been any opposition to this bill as far as you're aware?
Within the legislative body or within programmatic elements, people outside, no. There was testimony, I think one member of the public testified, didn't seem to understand fully the bill, and made comments that were not quite related to the bill. I hesitate to call it opposition to the bill, but it was maybe more just an opportunity to comment on other issues while taking advantage of a public hearing.
Okay.
So, but no, there's no opposition to this bill that I'm aware of.
Christopher, thank you for being available online. Can you comment on whether or not the administration is in support of this legislation or has any comments related to the bill?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for the question. At the moment, I'm from my last understanding, I understand that the administration is supportive of the concepts in the bill. So that's what I understand as of most recently.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and take a brief at ease. The Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has come back to order. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 17, Version Bravo, also referred to as 32LS0187/B, to be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, we will move the bill out of committee and take a brief at ease. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Now before the committee, we have Senate Bill 76 and we have the bill sponsor here, Senator Keel. This is a bill related to abandoned vehicles and private property. It's the first hearing in Labor and Commerce. We'll go through the introduction by the sponsor and staff will provide the sectional analysis. We have a few members as invited testimony. We will open and close public testimony this afternoon, and then we will look to the will of the committee. So with that, welcome, Senator Keel. Please provide your introduction.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jesse Keel, and I have the privilege of representing Senate District Q, where I'm thrilled that you're all sitting today. With me is Catherine Schlingheide of my staff. Senate Bill 76, Madam Chair, shortens up the time frame for a private property owner to deal with someone else's vehicle that has been abandoned on their private property. We've all seen this happen, the vehicle abandoned in the parking lot, the vehicle abandoned sometimes in what looks like a vacant lot. In essence, someone disposing of a car they can't sell on land they don't own. Today's process, when that happens, is that the private property owner can get the last registered owner's address and try to contact them. In an ideal world, the last registered owner clears the car and we have no problem, but that's not why we need legislation. What happens too often today is that there is no response, or the last registered owner says, oh, I sold that car to a guy and don't know where he is now. In that situation, Madam Chair, the private property owner waits 6 months before initiating a process to get title to the car. After 6 months, you can send a legal notice and begin a prescriptive process that ends after ample notice to the last registered owner of the vehicle, with the private property owner having title to the car, at which point then they have the privilege of paying for its disposal from their land. All Senate Bill 76 does is shorten that initial 6 month window. It does not deprive the last registered owner of their legal notice, certified mail return receipt, etc. It's not a cure-all. The private property owner is still faced with a vehicle they didn't put there, and they're forced to deal with it. But under Senate Bill 76, they have the opportunity to deal with it without waiting 6 months to begin the process. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Keel. And I just want to mention to the members that I've actually heard this bill before, so I am just going to open it up for questions for the committee and to give you a chance to answer and ask any questions. We have several members who we'll hear from under invited testimony. But any questions? Senator Stevens?
Maybe just a sort of tangential question, Senator Keel. If you do sell a car and you no longer, you sold it inexpensively, somebody else now owns it, but you're still the registered owner, isn't there a process that you actually go to the DMV and transfer ownership? Isn't that really the proper way to do it? And I realize it doesn't affect your bill, but that would be the best way to do it, right?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Stevens' question, yes. Ideally, if I sold a car to a private party, there's a slip at the bottom of the title that I can return to the DMV that lets them know I am no longer the registered owner.
And does that have on it, Senator, the address of the new owner or not?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Stevens, that is not a requirement to file with the DMV, no.
Thank you.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Keel. So my question is, so right now a property owner has to wait 6 months before they can deal with it on their own. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Gray Jackson, the property owner must wait 6 months before they can begin the legal process that right. ends with their being able to deal with the car.
Right. That's what I was trying to ask. So thank you for the clarification. So if I can follow up, Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson.
So this bill changes that six-month period. I mean, it's the same process, but it's from 6 months to 30 days. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How does this work with municipal and state land? Is it any property owner? Because that's an issue on the Sterling and Seward highways. And when I was mayor of Soldotna, it was a problem from time to time. Is it the same that 6 months goes to 30 days no matter whom happens to be the property owner? Is that correct?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Machicki, governments have additional authorities to deal with vehicles abandoned in their rights of way. So this is not a method that is generally used by state or local government.
Okay.
follow up.
Senator Machicki.
So not all state and municipal property is a right-of-way. is there a different process for municipalities than this 30-day deadline?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Machicki, there is. The bill actually, I should have been clearer in my initial answer, the bill actually only applies to vehicles abandoned on private property and the underlying law. There are sections in the statutes that deal with municipalities' rights, and, of course, the state has significant rights to deal with vehicles abandoned on state land.
Thank you.
Thank you. Perhaps if we could go through a sectional before we go to invited testimony.
Thank you.
Sectional analysis. Thank you.
For the record, this is Kathy Schlingheide, staff to Senator Keel. The first section of the bill changes the time from 6 months to 30 days that a private property owner has to wait before they can begin the legal process of getting rid of an abandoned vehicle. And Section 2 says that this only applies to vehicles that are abandoned after the effective date of the bill.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So we have Alex Mesdag, who's the Vice President and Director of Alaska Electric Light and Power Company, who has been invited to testify on the bill. Alec, if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and provide your testimony, please.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Alec Mesdag, and I am Vice President and Director of Energy Services at Alaska Electric Light and Power Company.
Alec, would you like to provide testimony on the bill, please?
Yes, please. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this testimony. So, as I said, I work for Alaska Electric Light and Power Company. We're the electric utility serving Juneau. And I also manage properties for AOMP's sister company, AGT Mining Properties, which is a non-regulated landholding company. So, between AOMP and AGT, we own a large amount of land all around Juneau. And in recent years, we've had to deal with a significant number of derelict vehicles abandoned on our properties. It's about one per month. So our options right now, as Senator Keel said, are to kind of leave them where they were abandoned for 6 months before we start the process of obtaining title. Leaving them where they were abandoned creates conflicts with neighboring landowners because of the eyesore. Or we tow them to one of our secure yards, where we hold them for 6 months before we start the process. And, and then eventually we tow them again to be disposed of. So SB 76 provides relief by lessening the time we need to hold these vehicles. These derelict vehicles are an environmental hazard. They're often, leaking fluids, and they are frequently littered with used needles and other biohazards. So the six-month holding period is too long. It's not relevant to our needs today, and SB 76 is a simple and meaningful improvement. So many thanks to Senator Keel for submitting the bill, and many thanks to you on the committee for allowing me to provide testimony and for your support for SB 76.
Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this makes a lot of sense. It just reduces the time to 30 days. Just curious, how do you dispose of these vehicles, and it's cost to the company, right?
Yes, it is. We have a couple options. It depends on what type of vehicle it is. But we have had, if it's just a standard automobile, those can be disposed of through one of the kind of recyclers, right? And then And then for things like a camper, we had a camper just abandoned one time because they have holding tanks and other things that the recyclers don't want to deal with. We hauled that one to the dump. And that cost about, just that one cost us, I think, about $1,400 by the time it was all said and done. And then about a couple months later, I saw that same camper that we had paid $1,400 to haul to the dump sitting next to somebody's house over off of Capitol Avenue. So they don't always die when you think they will, but certainly shortening the time that we have to just leave them sitting around would be very, very helpful.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Alec, appreciate you being online and making yourself available to the committee and providing that testimony. Next, Ken Darling, who's the Chief Credit Officer for the Matanuska Valley Federal Credit Union. Welcome, Ken. Please state your name for the record and provide your testimony, please.
Yes, thank you. Kenneth Darling, Chief Credit Officer for Matanuska Valley Federal Credit Union. Thanks for those that are supporting SB 76. We are in favor of it also. The time frame that would reduce the exposure by 5 months, although we've talked about a couple critical things, I think the environmental and biohazard conversation is very enlightening as we're trying to change things around the world. These vehicles, as they sit and deteriorate and dilapidate for an extended period of time, can cause environmental hazards besides just the eyesore. A disposal, as it was asked for us, we dispose through an auction. So these cars also have a value. Even if a car is completely wrecked, it has a salvage value. And that vehicle sitting there for 5 months is a depreciating asset, a biohazard asset, an environmental asset, and the property owner, or in some cases us as the credit unit, is financing them. We need to recover as much money as possible because we are paying for that. And we are paying for that to go through the auction at average cost of $700. We're paying for that registration fees and processing time, and we're also paying for potential insurance to cover for any possible damage of people visiting the property, even though that is trespassing. So we are in support of it to help the environmental biohazard and help the depreciating asset have less of depreciation prior to going to the auction, so more recovery for the property owners as they liquidate the asset.
Thank you very much, Ken. It looks like Senator Stevens has a question for you.
So, Ken, what you're saying, I think, is that if you had a loan on a vehicle, it's you are responsible as well as the owner. If the owner can't be found, then the credit union has some responsibility. Is that true?
That's absolutely correct. We have responsibility as well as we are on the title. We are a partial owner of the vehicle.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you making yourself available this afternoon, Ken. Next, I'm going to open public testimony on Senate Bill 76 and invite Bill Unin with the Kenai Peninsula Borough to provide testimony. Bill?
Hello, Madam Chair, Senator Michiki, Stevens, and Gardner. Thank you for taking the time. My name is Bill Ulan. I'm the roads director and the maintenance director for the Kenai Peninsula Borough. And the mayor would like one of me to pass on our support for this bill. Switching the time frame from 6 months to 30 days will mirror the timeline of notification for any public property that we represent. It's slightly different when you're dealing with a right-of-way, but if we had like a school district parking lot or something, we would have to let it sit there for 30 days before we presumed that it was abandoned, and then we could move forward with proper notification, removal, and eventual disposal. I'd also like to support that a lot of these vehicles, if left for 6 months, do become public safety hazards and environmental biohazards. We deal with abandoned vehicles in the Kenai Peninsula Borough weekly at a minimum, and I've had both instances where we've had public safety issues where a vehicle was required to sit. We had a heavy snow load. It was a motorhome, as a matter of fact, and then it collapsed. Once it collapsed, we couldn't do anything with it to the snow melt, and then when the snow did melt, it was unsafe to transport, so we had the impound in place. The entire time this was sitting there, there was children playing in it, on it, and around it, which is a bad place for anyone to be. You don't want your kids doing that. Another instance that I can speak of was a motorhome that was in place that was a definite biohazard. It was a drug house, I guess the best way to say it. Folks would show up in the middle of the night, they'd use their needles, they'd defecate all over the place to include in the vehicles, in the motorhomes, and right away around that. When you start dealing with that, you quadruple your costs at a minimum. By the time we moved that and had teams to come in and remove the needles and the biohazards, we were well into $30,000 to have that vehicle removed and have the surrounding property cleaned up. So on behalf of Mayor Charlie Pierce and the Kenai Peninsula Borough, we're in support of this bill, and then would like for you guys to pass it.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bill, I want to thank you for your testimony. I really appreciate hearing from you and the others. Senator Gardner was a wonderful senator, but she retired in 2018, and this is Senator Gray Jackson, and I'm the new senator here. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Gray Jackson, I think that we need to update the Facebook page for the Labor and Commerce Committee. That might be the issue. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Bill, thank you for your testimony. I have a question related to the liability. So it sounds like the cost of cleaning up the hazard ends up being an individual who has no involvement in the fact that it is a hazard. I mean, is there any contemplation of putting that liability on the previous owner or the owner of the vehicle?
From a well, my name is Bill, by the way. It's like Pickles Bill, not Bill, just for clarification. It's an unusual name, but I just wanted to clarify that. From a public standpoint, we have procedures in place that we can then put the burden onto the last known owner. And it usually ends up through small claims and collections, and more than likely we won't recover them funds regardless. But I can tell you that the 30-day timeline is reasonable, because anyone that has the intentions that we've dealt with that has the intentions of recovering the vehicle, they'll usually do it within the first week. We have not had anything recovered after the second week. From the private sector, as far as them being able to recoup funds, I would imagine that's a civil suit against the last known owner. They'd have to seek legal counsel on that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else online who wishes to provide public testimony on Senate Bill 76? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public testimony and take a brief at ease. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question of the sponsor. A little confusion on my part. We heard from the borough employee, Dill. Can you help me understand the difference between public and private property? Would this apply to borough property at all?
Madam Chair, in answer to Senator Stevens, this bill would not. It would bring the laws for vehicles abandoned on private property very close to those for public property. And you'll see in the packet we provided the committee a letter of support from the Alaska Municipal League, because so many of the issues with abandoned vehicles, as you heard in testimony today, cause and exacerbate public safety problems for the community as a whole. So giving private property owners additional tools, ability to deal with these vehicles quickly, can benefit the entire community, not just from the eyesore standpoint, but from the public safety standpoint.
Thank you, Senator, for clarifying that.
Senator Machicki?
Yeah, I think for Senator Stevens as well. Again, I was a mayor of a small town, and we had ordinances about abandoned vehicles. So often we would approach a property owner that had an abandoned vehicle in a neighborhood after neighborhood complaints, and they would have no control over this vehicle for 6 months. So I think that's why the municipalities are interested, is they can't even enforce their own ordinances for 6 months after something. Sometimes you get up on a Sunday morning and there's a vehicle sitting in your front yard. From things that may have occurred Saturday night, this will help with that dramatically. So thank you for bringing the bill forward.
Senator Gray Jackson?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Do you
want
to move the bill?
Yeah, I can.
Yes. Senator Machicki?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill number 76, 32-LS0005/A from committee with committee recommendations and zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the bill does move, and we will take a brief at ease. Thank you, Senator Keel.
Thank you, ma'am.
to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Next on our agenda is House Bill 36, Motor Vehicle Dealers. This is a bill introduced by Representative Klayman. Welcome to the committee. Please feel free to introduce your bill to us.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. For the record, my name is Matt Klayman, State House Representative for House District 21, West Anchorage. I would like to thank all of you for hearing House Bill 36 today. The purpose of House Bill 36 is to strengthen Alaska's motor vehicle dealer license requirements without creating barriers to entry or restricting competition. Under current law, a motor vehicle dealer in Alaska must register biennially with the Division of Motor Vehicles by filling out an application, paying a $50 registration fee, and maintaining a surety bond of $50,000. These are lenient requirements compared to other states. For example, many states require and provide for a grievance process, grounds for license revocation, and proof of location for the dealership. Many states also require dealers to maintain liability insurance covering bodily harm and property damage. Alaska's lenient requirements make it easy for unscrupulous dealers to obtain dealer licenses and gain access to dealer-only auctions where used cars are sold at discount rates. House Bill 36 ensures that reasonable standards for becoming a dealer are in place, as well as adequate financial protections for purchasers should the sale not work out. House Bill 36 updates the surety bond requirement, which hasn't been changed in 20 years, to $100,000 to stay in line with current car prices and the economics of the automobile industry. More specifically, 20 years ago, $50,000 would cover about three cars, but it doesn't today. It's about $100,000 to cover three cars at the value that many used cars are sold for. Furthermore, it requires that dealers carry comprehensive liability insurance. Though Alaska requires car owners to carry liability insurance, it does not currently require that dealers carry liability insurance. Comprehensive dealer liability insurance, known as an auto dealer coverage form, is important as dealers may allow uninsured drivers to take cars for test drive. In addition to standard commercial general liability, an auto dealer's form covers bodily injury and property damage in the event that a customer gets into an accident while test driving a vehicle, and covers property damage to a client's car while it is in the care, custody, or control of the policyholder, or the auto dealer in this case. It also provides insurance if the vehicle has a defect that causes injury to the person test driving the vehicle. House Bill 36 also limits ownership of persons who have been convicted of felonies for fraud or embezzlement within 5 years of the application date. Lastly, it requires dealers with employees to confirm that they are aware of Alaska's workers' compensation coverage requirements. We also had questions about the cost to dealers of the proposed changes. Currently, a $50,000 bond costs approximately $500 to $1,000 for the performance bond. Moving that to $100,000 for the auto dealer's bond will cost approximately $1,000 to $2,500 for a year coverage. The estimated cost for a dealer's policy for the insurance for a small dealer is approximately $2,500. This cost is comparable to the cost for a new business owner to purchase general premises liability for a restaurant, for a print shop, or a retail store. The purpose of House Bill 36 is to establish reasonable standards for car dealer licensing and to reduce the potential for harm through increased bond amounts, mandatory insurance, and additional disclosures that will hold auto dealers more accountable as business owners than under current statutes. And with that, I'll turn it over to my staff, Sophie Jonas, who will present a sectional analysis of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Klayman. And Sophie, if you could provide a sectional analysis, thank you.
For the record, my name is Sophie Jonas, and I'm staff to Representative Klayman. So, let's see. Section 1 of this legislation amends AS 0866030 by requiring the applicant to provide a working telephone number for the business listed on the application, a written statement affirming that no person holding a 5% or greater interest in the business has been convicted of a felony involving fraud, embezzlement, or misappropriation of property within 5 years preceding the date of initial application, a statement acknowledging that the applicant has reviewed the requirements for workers' compensation insurance and will maintain workers' compensation insurance if it is applicable, and a copy of the liability policy certificate of insurance, which is further detailed in Section 3. Section 2 of this legislation raises the current bond amount required of auto dealer applicants as outlined in AS 086660A, from $50,000 to $100,000. And finally, Section 3 of the bill adds a new section to AS 0866 that requires that dealers maintain comprehensive automobile dealers' liability insurance. I would also like to inform committee members that we have two invited testifiers online. And with that, we're available for questions as well.
Thank you, Sophie. Do members have any questions of the bill sponsor? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Things are changing in Alaska, and I know you're from the largest city in Alaska, and it's a little different there on buying cars. The communities I represent, some have had new car dealers, but I don't think we have any anymore. So all of the automobile sales are used cars. I just want to be assured that this is not making it more competitive or more difficult for the small dealers. And I'd also like to know the cost of having a $50,000 to $100,000 bond.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, for the last question first, the difference in price from a $50,000 bond, the estimated price for a $50,000 bond now is about $500 to $1,000 for a year, and increasing that to $100,000, the estimated range is $1,000 to $2,500. Those bonds are actually regulated by our Division of Insurance. Lori Winghire should be available online if you have further questions about the bond amounts. And then I think the earlier question is, how is that going to impact other dealers? And given the price of typical used cars, you certainly can find plenty of used cars in the, particularly online for kind of $2,000 to $5,000 range, but that's not usually who you're going to see dealers selling. Dealers are going to be selling cars more in the $10,000 to $20,000, $30,000 for used cars. And so we see that kind of price to entry, if you will, for a dealer that comes in to basically have the bond in place and the insurance in place is a pretty reasonable level of entry to be able to be in this business, because there's always the potential somebody driving a car, there could be a problem with the car that nobody knows about, but the insurance would provide protections in those situations. And the bond would also provide protections in the event something goes wrong after the sale.
Thank you.
Next, I'd like to have the invited testimony portion of the committee meeting. Marcus Whaler, who's is a board member of the Alaska Automotive Dealers Association. If you could provide your testimony for the committee, please.
Hi, this is Marcus Whaler. I'm a board member for the Alaska Automotive Dealers Association, and I also own a small used car business in Anchorage, Alaska, Red, White, and Blue Auto Sales. I was the one who initially brought my concerns to the board's attention about 6 or 7 years ago now. I've been in the automotive business for about 23 years, and I've been attending auctions for much of that time and managing used car inventories. And I started to notice about 7 years ago that many of the buyers who were attending the auctions right now didn't have businesses that they were selling out of. And at that same time, Craigslist was becoming a very popular avenue for selling all sorts of items. And I started to notice that a lot of the vehicles being purchased at auctions, particularly the less expensive ones, were showing up on Craigslist, and they weren't being represented as being sold by dealers. They were being represented as being sold by private parties. And and there was, all sorts of just shenanigans being played out. But oftentimes I would see these vehicles for sale the same day they ran through auction. And this was, this was getting worse and worse. And, when I started this, there was about, a dozen or 15 dealers that we all knew each other and had storefronts. And now I attend the auctions. I still know about 15 people there, but there's about another 50 there that don't have any businesses or storefronts. And just last week when I testified, I had sold 4 cars at auction that I couldn't get through my safety inspections. And you just sell them as is there. And they were purchased by dealers. And I saw them that very afternoon online, again, under the guise of a private party. So My goal with this was to just bring some minimal standards to our industry. I did do a lot of research on the lower 48 states, and there's a lot of rules, everything from background checks to fingerprinting to having, brick and mortar buildings to becoming a dealer in those other states. But we have none of that here in Alaska. You simply can pay about $500 for your bond, and you pay $75 for your registration, and you're in business. So the goal here is to bring some minimal standards and have reputable people playing in the game, not making it a financial hardship to become a dealer, but rather to just bring some minimal standards to the industry. And I think that's what we're doing here. Thank you.
Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Mark, for your comments. I'd assume, I may be wrong, that there's only one auction in Alaska, and it's in Anchorage. And my concern is the smaller communities that are not connected to the road system. And a little concerned that this may make it less likely that anybody would go into your business in a smaller community without connection to the road system, without connection with the auction. So the first question is, are there other auctions in Alaska that you know of?
Through the chair to Senator Stevens, yes, there are other auctions. The one main auction is in Anchorage. It's Dealers Auto Auction, and they sell the majority of the cars, and they sell the majority of the trades that go through the big dealers that they decide not to keep. But there are various smaller auctions in Fairbanks and Kenai that pop up sporadically, and also in Wasilla. So there are other options, and then also auctions have moved online, so you don't actually have to be physically present anymore at an auction to buy there. You can simply do it through the internet.
Thank you very much, Marcus. I appreciate you providing the testimony to the committee. Next, I'd like to invite Steve Allwine, who's with the Alaska Automotive Dealers Association and owner of Mendenhall Auto Center. Steve, if you could provide your testimony to the committee and also introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Steve Allwine. I'm with Mendenhall Auto Center. I am also a director for the National Auto Dealers Association and a board member of the Alaska Auto Dealers Association. First of all, thank you to the committee for taking time to hear the bill. Thank you to Representative Klayman for helping us with this piece of legislation. The first thing I will say, and I'm not going to eat up a lot of everybody's time, is with regards to Senator Stevens' concerns. Our board and our membership in Alaska is a little bit different. We are comprised of both new car and used car dealers, some very large dealers, Lithia and the Kendall Group is an example of very large dealers, and some very small dealers throughout the state, both new and used. That's the first thing. One of the big concerns when Marcus had brought this to the board was, how do we do this without making it a burden on everybody? And so that's where we arrived at this piece of legislation. Frankly, we would have liked to have stiffened it a little bit more, but it seemed like if we did that, we were going to create a barrier to competition, and that is not our desire in the state of Alaska. You know, we're sort of all regulation adverse up here, and so we just sort of like to keep it as simple as we can. The issues that we do have, as Marcus told you, are people who are licensed as dealers and then hold themselves out as a consumer. And so when they're selling to another consumer as a consumer, of course, the rules and the regulations and the protections that a normal consumer has go away. Whereas is that consumer, if he's dealing with me as a dealer and I'm representing myself as a dealer and doing it properly, the protections are built in for that consumer when they're buying a vehicle from me. So that really is the intent of the legislation. I will also say that we are all aware that this will not hinder or eliminate this issue, but it may slow it down, because what we're saying up front is do things right, take the necessary steps, make a reasonable investment, and then come into our business. That's essentially all I need to say. We appreciate your support on this piece of legislation, and I thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Steve. I appreciate talking to you earlier on this issue, and take you at what you say, that this will not be a barrier to competition. Thank you.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Stevens. We appreciate that consideration.
Next, I'm going to open public testimony on House Bill 36, Motor Vehicle Dealers Bill. Is there anyone online who would like to provide public testimony? Okay, seeing none, I will open and close public testimony. I would like members to know that Lori Winghire, the Director of the Division of Insurance, is online if you have questions for Lori. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you just help us understand, Lori, the change in the bonding issue and the actual cost of buying that bond? Just so, and again, I'm concerned about smaller communities that have very small businesses selling used cars, and if the cost would be prohibitive to them. Just so I understand that. Thank you, Lori.
Lori, we're unable to hear you if you're speaking, or perhaps you've left the committee.
Nope.
Okay, great. We can hear you now. Thank you, Lori.
For the record, this is Lori Winghire. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance for the state of Alaska. And through the chair to Senator Stevens' questions, I don't see it as a barrier, sir. It is an increase in cost, but it's also providing more protections for consumers who would be buying these cars. A bond will guarantee that that entity, the one that is you're buying the car from, or getting the car repair done, will have the wherewithal to order the parts, to pay their employees, and to do the work right. That's what a bond does. It guarantees that they have the wherewithal to perform the work. And when you look at a bond, you know, in insurance, we always say that there's three parts of a bond. They look at the character, the capacity, and the capital. And is the person who's applying for the bond, did they have the capital, so the money to pay for the parts that they may need to buy the auto, to reasonably restore it or do whatever they're going to do and then sell it, the capacity to do the work, are they stretched too thin, and then, of course, the character, have they had claims brought against them? And if they don't, if they are, let's say, a person in good standing, then they should see the lesser premium. It may be a little bit higher their first year or two in business, but it will reduce as they grow and as they build a good reputation. And I don't know if I answered your question, Senator Stevens. I hope so, but I'm certainly willing to give it another stab if I didn't.
Well, thank you, Lori. Of course, always you're very helpful. I was just trying to get an idea of what the change in the bond would cost a small dealer. If you could, maybe you can't give me that figure. It depends on a lot of other things, I suppose.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, the $50,000 bond is right now for a person who is in good standing, for lack of better terms, is running about $500 per year. For somebody new coming in, it's probably going to be closer to $1,000. Likewise, going up to a $100,000 bond is going to be anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500 per year. But, and the reason for the increase is, again, the cost of the car, the cost of the parts, and the capital that a person has to have or should have to be operating a business.
Well, thank you, Laura. And maybe just a final question. Do you believe that this would be a barrier of any kind to competition in the smaller communities?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't. And I'm saying that because any entity, if it's a coffee shop, if it's a hardware store or a delicatessen, is going to look at these same kind of premiums in insurance. We look at what we rate to in insurance, and often you can come up with a rate for, let's just say, a delicatessen of $700 a year. But an insurance company or a broker is going to write that policy. They're going to look for a minimum somewhere around $2,500. And that's what we're our research and what we convey to Representative Klingman. It wouldn't matter if it was an auto dealership or any other type of business, small business that you could think of in the state. Their startup costs are going to be right in line with what we've given Representative Klingman for this bill.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. Next, I would like the members to know that the Division of Motor Vehicles Director is also online, Jeffrey Schmitz. Jeffrey, Senator Stevens, do you have any questions for Mr. Schmitz?
No, thank you.
Jeffrey, I do have a question. Are you aware of the administration's position on the bill, if the administration does have a position?
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, this is Jeffrey Schmitz, Director of Alaska DMV. To answer your question, we have no position on the bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you. I see this as a bill that levels the playing field. I'm always on guard for obstacles to entry. And individuals could still sell their vehicles at will without the requirements of being a dealer. But when you think about, say, a young person going to buy a vehicle where there may not be insurance on that vehicle, if the individual doesn't carry insurance that is also applicable to another vehicle they're testing, I mean, they're exposed to possibly not being protected if there is an accident. So I think that, and the bonding is reasonable when you think about just the bonding on a small contractor. I think it's in line with those expectations. So I think it levels the playing field and sets an expectation. I think it's just in protection of the public itself. I think it's a pretty important bill.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to echo Senator Machicki's words, and I also want to thank Representative Klayman for bringing this bill forward. Because when I looked at it for the first time, right away, I said, oh, my goodness, this protects the consumer. And I had a meeting this week with automobile agencies or organizations, whatever, wherever they were from. But anyway, I was pleasantly surprised to see that they were having a meeting with me to tell me how much they supported it, as opposed to saying that they were against it. So I think all around that this is a very good bill, and I support it. And again, thank you for bringing it forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Thank you, Representative Klayman, and your staff. We will hold the bill for further consideration and let you know when it's coming up next. Appreciate you being here in person to present your bill. That concludes this afternoon's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, May 3rd at 1:30. The committee will consider Representative Rasmussen's House Joint Resolution 14, Federal Safe Banking Act, and cannabis. And then the Labor and Commerce's Committee Bill 130 related to electronic pull tabs. So with that, the meeting is adjourned.